Hello, welcome to Time in the Studio. Thank you so much for taking time to drop in this week. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Miller, and I'm so excited for this 32nd episode of Time in the Studio. I got to chat with the incredible S. Marie, Sadie Marie of Herbal Marie podcast and the Herb Oracle podcast as well. So I was just so impressed by both of her podcasts and that she's doing two of them. One of them she puts out almost daily, the Herb Oracle, and then the Herbal Marie comes out about every week. And they're just both so good. They have a little bit of a different flavor to them. So the Herbal Marie podcast is a little bit more zipped up. It's really well researched. Information about different plants and remedies. And then the Herb Oracle is a little bit more in the magical realm of things. And she does these really beautiful oracle readings using different decks. The Herbal Tarot deck by Michael Tierra and some other really cool decks that she works with. But it's just so fun. And I get so much rich information and really beautiful ideas from that podcast. Like whenever I listen to it, there's things that she says that just kind of reverberate in my brain and make me feel really happy and calm. And yeah, just she has such a great way of telling stories and her voice is incredible and just has such a true, authentic way of being in the world that is just really so inspiring. And I also love that we've been able to create a friendship, even though we have never actually met. Over the months, you know, she'll comment on my photos or I'll comment on hers. And, you know, when I wasn't doing the podcast for a while, she reached out to me. And so I feel like we've been able to be there for each other a little bit. Even though we've never met in person, we've established a kinship and a friendship and just a solidarity that is really inspiring and makes me feel like what a cool time it is right now to be alive and to be able to connect with people all over the world. And yeah, so I just want to just share my gratitude for all of that. And so excited to share our conversation that we had. There's a couple of things I just want to mention. I was having a little bit of a technical difficulty. So in this podcast, my voice is very quiet and hers is a little bit louder. And I did what I could to try to balance the sound, but I'm not the best with sound engineering yet. I'm figuring out little things here and there as I go, but it's still a work in progress. So I apologize that the sound is a little bit eater. And then we also, because I live in the mountains, the internet was a little dodgy that day. And so we lost at the end of the interview. We weren't able to say our proper goodbye. So it just kind of cuts out. But I think it was still an incredible conversation. There's so much rich wisdom here. We talk about minimalism, Marie Kondo, medicines to help you get through tough times of being a mom and trying to sit through being in the car while your child is learning to drive, and which sounds really scary. And oh my gosh, so many things. I just really enjoyed this conversation so much. Oh, we talk about celery juice and the medical medium. Celery juice is actually really changing the game for me. Yeah, it's helping me a lot. So yeah, if you're having health issues at all, try this, drinking some celery juice every day. I add a little ginger and garlic and lemon just to make it taste a little more exciting. And it's delicious and very helpful. Okay, anyway, let's just dive in. Okay, thank you. Here we go.
Excited with a capital E to talk to you. Like, oh, really, so much hype.
Yeah, here. I'm just like, so, I feel like you're already a sister to me. Like, I just feel like I already know you. I think from listening to your podcast, and I especially am really into your new, the Herb Oracle. I just feel like it has this extra element of like personal connection where you're just like really pouring your heart into it. And it just, I mean, I feel like I can see that with both of them, but I feel like with the Herbal Marie, it's more like in, it's more contained in a box. And I don't know, with the Herb Oracle, it's like you can just feel who you are. And so I just feel like already like you're a kindred spirit to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that, yeah, that's really good insight of yours, because my shadow self definitely started Herbal Marie. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day when I started it, I wasn't like, I mean, that's like ego, like thinker self, you know, and Herb Oracle definitely is like higher self, light worker self, you know? Yes. So they are two very kind of different aspects to myself. But yeah, Herb Oracle is like, this is me coming into a stage of my life that is so transparent. Like, I just feel like at this point, I just should be like an invisible, like not invisible, but like you could see right through me. Like, I hold nothing in anymore. And if messages want to fly through me, I just let them. And it feels so good.
Yeah. I really feel that in listening to it. It just feels like I just get so many downloaded messages from that podcast in particular. I'm just like,
yeah,
whoa, there's like, it just feels like divine source flowing through you.
Well, yeah. And like one, I knew I needed to do that because it was just going to be healthy for me. You know, I feel so much better when I let spirit come through me on the daily, you know, and that is what's happening. It's like a soft channeling, you know, but yeah, that's what Oracle cards allow me to do. If it was just me sitting there without the cards, I mean, I could probably get myself into a place to receive messages, but they are just such a fun tool to bring forward messages that like we seriously are ready to hear.
Yeah.
You know, we are. Yeah. So those messages are from, you know, they're for me. And sometimes I'm like, does this even make sense? You know, because when you're talking, you're like, is this even making sense? And then like, you go back and listen and you're like, oh good, I was using English. Good. At the time, I couldn't tell.
I love that. Amazing. Yeah, I can see how that would happen. I feel I do a little bit of tarot reading and oracle card reading, but only really for myself. And one of my dearest friends, like, we'll trade readings. And but I haven't done it for clients or for other people, really. And so that's just such a cool...
Yeah, well, I would love to pull cards for you. Like,
that would be fun.
Because I could do that tomorrow. That would be a good follow up. Because, like, you know, I know I'm going to talk about this anyways. Because this has been like the highlight of my week, as far as like being excited about something. But yeah, I mean, if I have your permission.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. We can either leave it open to the universe to bring in a message, or if you have a specific question or topic, let me know.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I'll do that tomorrow on Herb Oracle. Cause I love pulling cards for other people. Like, I get tired of my own shit, you know?
I mostly just read for my friend, but anytime I do kind of look for messages for other people, I feel like it's almost always like relevant for myself in some way too. Like, I'm like, oh, and I could see how that, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's nice to use other people as the excuse or the focal point.
Yeah.
And yeah, you always get something from it. Absolutely. And then it really just sort of takes home this concept, this reality that we are all connected and we are all one. And that's hard for our small minds, our disconnected, separated, isolated minds to understand. But yeah, like what happens to you, you know, is relevant to everyone. And that's why healing is so important. That's why herbalism is so important to me, that when we heal our bodies, you know, and our minds, then it helps heal the collective. And so, yeah, a lot of times it just starts out with like, I need to heal this physical complaint. But then you start to realize that like your physical body and your mental body cannot escape each other, you know, and then before you know it, your spiritual body's in the mix too. And then we heal on a whole complete level. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So healing is so important. I mean, not just to feel better and be well, like my little tagline, but yeah, because it is good for humanity.
Yeah, it's true. They say like the healing you do for yourself it also helps to heal all the generations before you and all the generations after you. So it's like, sometimes I get into feeling like a little bit selfish. I'm like, oh my God, I'm like doing all this, you know, really selfish work just to like go to yoga or meditate or whatever. And okay, well, if you think of it as not a selfish thing, but like you're actually helping all the people around you and everyone that comes before and after, like, okay, that makes it feel a little more legit.
Yeah. No, selfishness, self-care is how we're going to heal the world, like you said, because first we heal ourselves and we heal our families, and then that's how everyone gets healed. But yeah, it's interesting whenever you think about, I mean, that is getting deep, like when you're thinking about like future and past and it's all happening now, and literally every little last bit of healing work that you do is so necessary and helpful. So that's why I think it's so important for people to share their healing journeys. Yeah. Even if it's simple, like, hey, I just drank chamomile tea and my headache went away. Like, okay, so you speak up about that casually, you know, at the grocery store or whoever, your friend, and then you inspire them, you know, to be open to healing. And same thing like emotional healing. Like, we do have to speak up and say, like, I'm taking charge of, you know, cleaning up, you know, this negative energy that I have inside me. And then somebody else sees that like you're improving and you're getting happier, and then they're inspired to heal. So I think it's so important, like with our podcasts and stuff, for us to be honest and transparent and be like, yeah, I haven't always been in the best place and I'm healing now. And you just don't even realize who you're inspiring.
Oh, I love that. It's so true.
I know. And I have to share this with you. I just got an email last night on Instagram. Just a young lady, beautiful goddess, emails me out of the blue just to say, hey, I really love your podcast. And I want you to know that I've decided to enroll in herb school, even though I'm working full time, because you inspired me. And she just was basically saying, stay awesome, you know, but like, I was like blown away. Like, I just felt like I had done my job at that moment. I was like, I have pimped out the herbs proper.
You know, that is so, I love that. Pimping the herbs. That's so cute. And that just makes my eyes well up and gives me chills all over. And yes, you are doing such good work. And I love that someone was able to like reach out and send you that message, because
yeah,
it's so helpful to have that little affirmation of like, oh, okay, someone's listening.
Yeah. And like, and not to be like, well, this is just the way the world is based, but not to be superficial, but she is gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And like, gorgeous people need to promote the herbs, you know. like do your work for Gaia, serve the earth by taking your beauty and you know, using it to promote health and, you know, wholeness and positivity. So yeah, to think that like I was going to help, you know, this beautiful goddess become an herbalist, you know, like I just was like, dang, I'm cleaning up my karma. But yeah, I do love inspiring people, because, you know, I can't do it all. You can't do it all. Like, I am always in a state of recruiting, yeah, for the plants. Because I'm not gonna sit well with everybody, you know, not everybody wants to hang out with old sassy pants, you know. Like, I get that.
I can't imagine, because I love your podcast. Like, I found it, I don't know, a couple, maybe a year ago or.
Yeah. Well, Well, yeah, because it's not quite yet a year old. Okay. And happy birthday to your podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was laughing. Your podcast is a Gemini. And my podcast is a Leo.
Ooh, oh my God. I love a Leo. Oh my God. So I love that our podcasts have
astrological signs to them.
Yes, that's brilliant. What's your sign?
My sign is I'm a Taurus.
Oh my gosh, I love a Taurus.
Yeah.
I'm an Aquarius.
Well, I mean, I was pretty happy in my Taurian states, you know, to just roam the garden and be grounded. And I actually am a quiet person. Like when I don't have a microphone in front of me, I'm not talking all the time. Yeah. I mean, I live a life of kind of solitude actually. But yeah, so I had some hurdles actually, whenever I received the call, you know, this spiritual call to open up my mouth and start speaking truth and start, talking about the plants and stuff that I was so passionate about. I really did have some hurdles. Like, I don't know if I had a blockage in my throat chakra or what, or just, you know, my mental state, but it took me some work to do to get to the point where like I was able to speak without a filter and kind of like speak honestly and just regularly, because talking is kind of hard on your throat if you're not used to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's been really good for me spiritually and emotionally and energetically to speak. So I mean I don't know if that's like being a Taurus, like I went through a really long time where like I was okay with being quiet and keeping everything that I knew inside of me and felt inside of me. So, but you know, when spirit calls and it's like, just gives you that urge, like you're going to start talking now, you know, it's like, what?
I can absolutely relate to that too. I feel very similarly. Like I've always been really quiet and not always really quiet, but in general, I'm more of like a quiet solo person. Like I love just being alone. I love not talking. Like I love a Vipassana retreat of just like meditating and not saying anything for 10 days. Like I'm like, I love to not talk. And so it's kind of funny that then I was like, I'm gonna have a podcast where I talk. So
where you talk. Yeah, we're the hermit card in tarot. I think we might be the hermits. I don't know.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so when I started my podcast, I didn't have a plan. I like literally my first few episodes of Herbal Marie, I'm just sitting on the porch blabbering about nothing really. Like I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing. I just knew that like I had this very strong urge to talk, you know? And then it was really actually over time that like, once you open yourself up, then you get these inspired ideas and then your creative guides step up and like most of the ideas that I have for my podcast, I really don't even claim as my own. Like I just sort of got them, you know, like all of a sudden I just had like an idea like, oh, I want to like spotlight the herb, but in like a totally different way than they've ever been looked at or like maybe we'll learn nerdy words, you know, like I get all these weird ideas. And even one of my podcasts, I call it channeled because it wasn't me. I did poetry about chamomile. I don't know if you caught that one, but I was like, what the heck? Where'd that come from? You know? So, I mean, it's interesting to like get a creative idea and then not even know where you're going with it or what you're going to do with it and literally just watch it unfold. And sometimes it's like, well, I don't even know what to plan now. And then this voice comes up inside of me that says, don't worry about planning. Like you're going to know what you need to do and when, you know, and then it's just going to be just going to happen and unfold naturally.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of work that I have set myself up for with Herbal Marie. Like,
absolutely.
Because yeah, I have to be like, when I do, the herb podcast, like, you know, cinnamon or, you know, red clover, that was the last one. I have to fact check the hell out of everything I'm going to say, you know, because people, even though I say disclaim out the wazoo, like every podcast, I try to remind people, to do their own research, I know they're not going to. You know, I'm like, even though I'm like being obnoxious about it, I know there's going to be some people who are still just going to take my word mm-hmm. for, you know, accurate. And so I really try to watch out for them, even though I want them to watch out for their own self. Yeah. But yeah, there is quite a bit of work, but I love it. Oh. I really do. I really do.
I love the podcast. I was just kind of curious how you decided to start the other one and how and why you keep them separate, because I have this tendency to kind of separate and compartmentalize different things, like my art.
Yeah, I see that with you.
This is separate from this, but then I'm like, but it's not, but it is. And so I'm trying to understand.
I can definitely explain that. First of all, I think that that is us on our journey integrating the different aspects of ourselves, but we're not like quite ready, you know? but I do have a little bit of logic in my reasoning for keeping them separate. Mm-hmm. So Herbal Marie, I feel, is going to be like my collection or my offering to the world. And I basically just didn't want to clutter it up with my daily BS, you know? And I do kind of keep Herbal Marie more allopathic or allopathic AF, like I lovingly call it sometimes. Like I use spirit to create a super allopathic podcast at times. But yeah, like I want people to be able to like almost reference with Herbal Marie. Like I'm already over 50 episodes. And, you know, if I put in a daily podcast, it could get very cluttered very fast. Yeah. And then you're not going to be able to find Rosemary. You're not going to be able to find the one about healing, you know, your anxiety. And then, you know, I haven't helped anybody over there by cluttering it up. So I just thought I'll just do a separate one, you know, and I know that it is not an easy crossover for someone who listens to Herbal Marie because they're an herb nerd, because they like the scientific method and all that. It's not going to be an easy crossover for them to hear a message from a card, from a piece of paper, you know, like they don't really want to hear the magical aspects of lilac, you know, they just want to know how to make lilac syrup. You know? So I just thought like I would keep them separate, to give people a choice what they're interested in and to not overwhelm myself. And I do love minimalism. I mean, right now my desk in my office is completely cleaned off except for a gold plated Metatron's cube. Like I literally often clear space.
I love the aesthetics of minimalism and the whole idea of it. And I just do not succeed at it so far. Maximalist. I'm like, it's going to keep adding, but I'm like, oh, but I want things to be minimal. So how do you do that? I guess maybe that's partially being a Taurus.
Well, I was a total slob as a kid. Let me just tell you that. Like my mom would walk in my room and I would just have stuff everywhere. You couldn't even see the carpet. And I remember her being mad at me and she would say, "Now I want you to clean your room." And I would spend the next 45 minutes organizing my sock drawer.
Yeah.
Like never even picking up anything. And she'd come in and be like, "What the hell?" Yeah. And I'd be like, "Yeah, but look at my sock drawer." You know? So it has taken, I think I had to actually get to the point in my life where I had way too much stuff and it was actually causing me anxiety. I would walk in the room. I didn't like it. I didn't like how I felt, but I didn't know how to get rid of it. So, I had to, come to terms with that. I remember getting the house painted and having to move everything out of one room and into another room so they could paint and being like, "Oh my God, this is insane." So I had that terribly rude wake up call. Like, so I just started chucking stuff, giving it away, Goodwill, donate, just let's get it out of here. And over time I did reduce. And then I ran into KonMari method. Oh. That helped. you know, I was well on my way at that point, but she really brought in that element of like picking up something and saying like, does this spark joy? Because if it doesn't, get the hell out of here, you know? So yeah. And once I realized that like my space had an effect on my, my emotions, like literally it was creating anxiety. And that was a wake up call. And just knowing that if I wanted energy to flow, if I wanted to be productive and creative, I needed more clear spaces. And then once I got a hold of that, that feeling of, oh, I like how that looks and I like how that feels, it's just been easier and easier to get rid of stuff. But I do have like two whole drawers full of Oracle and tarot cards, and I have a, I have some shelves of books and herbs. So I do have my own, I guess, clutter, but it's meaningful to me and I love it. But yeah, that moment in my life, I want to talk about that actually, because that was also the same time frame that I connected with motherwort. And I know for your birthday podcast, you did an ode to motherwort. And she is the one who changed my life for me, like really, with herbs, because I had always just used herbs for, you know, physical ailments and let's heal this, remedy that. But it wasn't until I connected with motherwort that I really understood how plants are energetic helpers. They're not just physical remedies. So yeah, she was the herb that literally opened my eyes to a whole new world of herbalism. So the fact that you were celebrating her, I was like, yes, because she's my hero too, you know. Oh, she really is.
Oh, oh my gosh, I love that. I'm curious, like, just some of the messages, feelings that you have picked up from her over the years.
Well, excuse me. Yeah, motherwort. So I was seriously wrecked in my head as far as like when you think in circles, when you have repetitive thoughts, when literally you're just like, I hate myself because I won't shut up in my mind about this. Like if you've ever gotten to that point
Absolutely.
Of anything, like, like, and it's insane. Like, you know, you're just like, oh my God, I just want to not think anymore. Especially, and then like, you're like, oh my God, I'm still thinking about this, you know? So, I really feel like motherwort energetically, she helped clear my mind out and she held my hand until I was ready and strong enough and in a place to start doing my healing work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just don't know how to explain it other than that. But like, you know, she didn't fix my problems for me, but she got me to the point where I was at least able to fix my own problems. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, if you get in that circular thinking and that negativity, it is really hard to get off that merry-go-round. Yeah. It really is. And so she slowed it down and let me get out of my thoughts a little bit, you know, and just calmed me down. I mean, that's what she does. If you're overwhelmed in the moment, I mean, she physically calms you down. Mm-hmm. She slows your heart rate. I mean, and that's what I needed because I was overwhelmed. I had all these little kids, you know.
Oh, you're a mama too.
I have three children. Yeah. So like what I needed in my life was divine patience, and I needed to not be running the show from my mind, my ego. I needed to get into my heart space so that I could raise these children, you know, right. And yeah, so anyways, yeah, motherwort was definitely life-changing. She changed my energetic something or another, and I'm forever grateful to her. And she is back in my life because just 2 weeks ago, my oldest got his driver's permit.
How are you heard about that?
So she's back. So she is back taking rides with me and in the passenger seat, and I'm taking her beforehand and bringing her with me. And she's so helpful. So yeah, I mean, motherwort tincture should be in every new mom's like gift basket.
I love that. That's so brilliant and so funny. When you were talking about that on your podcast, it brought flashback visions of when I was learning to drive and my mom was beside me and she would just like tap on the dashboard and she was just absolutely terrified.
Yeah. And my son is a good driver, like safe driver. So it's really just my own fears that I'm sweating with over there. And, but it's going to get easier. But it is, you know, herbs come back around. And that's the other thing about motherwort. If somebody has anxiety, you know, it's like, oh, if you're on like pharmaceuticals, you're going to probably have to take that pharmaceutical like for evs. Like it's not going to actually heal you. It's just going to like calm you down, but not really help you. But like motherwort, I feel like a lot of herbal medicines, she's going to help you and heal you, and you're not going to need her forever. Right. Like you're not going to become dependent on her. She's going to help you get to the point of you doing your inner work, you know? She really impressed me so much. I am like forever just loving motherwort. But so I know like I'm only going to need her for a little bit now, and then she'll help me get back into that place of, you know, knowing that everything's going to be fine and all that. But yeah, herbal medicine is amazing. And it helps us on so many levels. And so that's another reason like why, you know, maybe some people at first aren't ready to understand how much herbs help us like on the emotional, energetic levels. But that is a part of healing that eventually herbalism is going to expand to. Like, it's not just going to be like this herb is good for this ailment. Like, people are going to start to understand that, like, this herb is going to help this ailment because it's actually helping you heal your mind. Mm-hmm. And it's our minds that create our body. Right. So, yeah. So, eventually, Herbal Marie will end on that note when it's all said and done. But right now it's just pretty allopathic AF because that's the way the world is.
Yeah.
And people have problems and they want solutions. And if that is the way I'm going to hook, line, and sinker them into their plant kingdom, then that's what I'll do.
Brilliant. So good. I love it. I mean, how you got into plants to begin with, because I can sense you just have such a deep connection with the land where you live, and you do a lot of gardening and have all these animals and use plants to heal yourself and your family. But I'm curious
how it all happened.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I am connected to this land here in Western Pennsylvania. And I often think like, why am I even here? Cause I hate winter. But man, when it's the growing season, the foliage makes it worth it. You know, it really does. So I've always been here. Even though other places of the world look interesting, I probably will stay close, for whatever reason. I just have work to do here. But as a kid, I loved plants. Not like I was interested in them, like, the way we learn about plants now, like what is its name? What's it used for? Like I just played with them. Like we were just little witches making our brews, you know, and those were our toys, you know? And so I was like that as a child. But of course I mentioned in like one of my podcasts, like you go to school, you get indoctrinated, you forget about nature. You just do.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until like I was in high school and I was an athlete, you know, basketball, volleyball, track, javelin. Right. I channeled my inner warrior, like, you know, with the physical. But that also meant that I spent a lot of time in locker rooms and I totally got like athlete's foot and stuff. So that was actually what called me back into, the plant kingdom because I didn't want my feet to be itchy and, you know, so there's always something like that. Like you always either get sick or, you know, and that's just your doorway into it, you know, back into it. So yeah, I mean, I just got books and I was so drawn to it. Lots of healing modalities, acupressure. I just was really interested in figuring, I just knew that we could heal our bodies. I don't know. I just knew that we were able to feel better. on another hand, I've always had a really sick sibling who is the polar opposite of me. So I had this contrast in my life too. Like I saw sickness and I didn't want that. And I felt like we didn't have to settle for that. So yeah, I just sort of follow my passions. Let's see here. I don't live in the past. So let me see if I can remember who I used to be. yeah, I ended up around like 20, moving to the other side of Pennsylvania and, getting a job at like a health food store that was run by an herbalist and aromatherapist. And that was a big learning experience for me too. So I was getting introduced to all types of herbs and remedies and people, you know, and just trying them all out on myself. And they didn't really like inspire me personally, because like their personalities were kind of arrogant and pompous, but I didn't let that stop me. Do you know what I mean? Like I have not really had good heroes in my life at all, but yet I still am like, I just keep following the call. So yeah, I'm definitely a self-taught herbalist. It's just been my own research, my own calling, my own execution, like my own connection to the plants. And of course, trying to help people, which has mostly been failures in my personal life. Definitely had that experience of people won't take your advice or listen to you. And then you just watch them suffer. And I guess it's all what I'm learning here, you know, like part of my purpose is to try to understand healing. And maybe part of that is trying to understand when people refuse to heal. Yeah. You know, it's just kind of like a weird thing. But so yeah, I just had a lot of that. And then becoming a mother, of course, that's a lot of incentive for people to get into natural remedies, because you want to keep your kids healthy and you want to keep them strong. And if they get sick, you want to aid them. But yeah, I mean, I never got any formal training because one, I didn't have any money to do that. And two, it's not really regulated. So you don't need to buy into that unless, of course, like you are going to be working with clients and stuff like that. I think you should know your stuff really well, obviously. But for me, you know, I don't think I ever want to work directly with people. like I really just prefer being with the plants, but I want to inspire people. Mm-hmm. I want to communicate and entertain and, you know, inspire people to connect with herbs in their own way and let the herbs be the teachers. Mm-hmm. And let people learn how to follow their guidance. But I'm always, you know, I'm more than happy to tell people what I think they should do, but I just don't think I'm ever going to be the type of person to have like one-on-one sessions or tolerate people's BS. Do you know what I mean? Cause like, you're going to tell them to do this and then they're not going to do it. And then you're going to be like, and I quit.
Yeah. Yeah. It does get a little frustrating because I've done some one-on-one sessions with people and it can be really frustrating. And it's especially with talking about like family or friends, family in particular, love you guys, but there is a resistance for some reason. And I don't know what that is about exactly, but it's definitely pretty widespread. It's like, if you are trying to help your family members, they don't want your help. You know, I don't know what that's about exactly, but it's kind of,
oh yeah, they just don't think that your knowledge is valid or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's something that we need to heal in our lineage for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I just sort of like, I give the information and then I release it to the universe and to them. And I don't even follow up with people. Like if they ask me, it's my service to humanity to give them what I know. And then I don't even think about them again. if I can help it. But then like, if you do see somebody trying to help themselves and you're like more encouraged to help them. But, yeah, there's a reason why, like, I think like I'm a one man show and just sort of give the information and then run away from it. Yeah. Like run. Cause people are interesting. That's why I love plants. You know, they really are just so much better than people. But I mean, the plants and people need to connect. I mean, and I think that's why that is why I am doing what I'm doing. Cause, yeah, people need the plants now more than ever. Yeah. They really do. The plants are going to help remind people of their spiritual nature. They're going to remind people's bodies that their body is nature. You know, everyone's so disconnected. Our food is hardly food. You know, it's just this processed stuff. If we ingest more greens and more plants, I think there is just this infinite intelligence, this, you know, this material that's in the plants is just going to talk to our bodies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just want to hook up people and plants. And then I'm doing my inner work so that I can connect with more people eventually. But yeah, shout out to all the herbalists who are actually working directly with stubborn people. You're amazing. You're amazing.
Thank you. That's so brilliant. I'm curious. So I kind of switching tangents. I listened to one of your podcasts, the one about open your heart to love. And it was like really profound. That was on Herb Oracle. That was like a really profound one for me that just like spoke to me on so many levels. And I just had so many questions from that too. One of them was like coffee and how you see coffee as this, when people need more love, they seek coffee. And I was like, guilty as charged.
Oh my God. Did I say that? Yeah, I did say that, didn't I? I forget what I say because it's just flowing through me. It's maybe it's not even of me, but yeah, sometimes I think I said I will crave coffee when I'm emotionally trying to fill a void.
Yes, that is.
Yeah. And the problem is eventually it won't just stay one cup for me. It'll be one pot. Mm-hmm. And then we'll make another pot. But yeah.
I'd love to hear about like what do you do instead? Like, how do you not drink coffee?
Oh, that was a big thing for me. That I broke up with coffee, but it killed me for a while. Okay. So, you know, if people can moderate, I think that's fine. Mm-hmm. I am 100% all or nothing. I either love you or I hate you. Like, we're either doing this or we're not, you know? Maybe so I could not moderate coffee. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't. That's all I wanted to drink. And then I wasn't drinking my herbal teas. And then I wasn't eating my green food because coffee's definitely an appetite suppressant for me, you know? And I just like, you know, I'm small stature. Like I need to eat. I have high metabolism, you know? So I understood that I needed to quit coffee because it really wasn't working anymore. My adrenals must have been exhausted, you know, and it wasn't giving me anything anymore. And it was just a crutch. I knew that. And so, yeah, I just had to set my mind to it that I wasn't going to do it at all. And then it took us several weeks for my body to recalibrate. Mm. It really did. So I'm not judging.
No, it's not as a judgment. It was just like,
yeah.
It just was kind of a wake up call to me, like, oh my gosh, I really love coffee and I
yeah.
don't really love it as much as I do, but how do I not drink?
Oh, and I was even doing it right. Like it was organic. I was making it through a French press. Like I was blessing it. Like I was doing coffee right. Like, proper, yeah. But I still couldn't handle it. And then like, I sort of like, you know, I coaxed myself out of it. Like, well, if you were really supposed to drink it, you could grow it in the backyard. You know, and it'll save you a lot of money, you know, and it really has. And I've redirected that money, of course. But see, then like drinking coffee, then I'm putting heavy whipping cream in it. So then I'm doing dairy. And then that's really not serving me very well. And so, yeah, it took a little while, but it really was the best thing because it opened me up to healing my body in other aspects too. But yeah, to this day, if I'm having an emotionally rough day, which I'm pretty sure I was that day, I will get a little taste like, or emotional ego's like, you could use a cup of coffee. <You know? laughs> But I just, I'm like, not today, Satan. But yeah, so now dandelion root, of course, you know, that can give you a bitter cup of joe. Mm-hmm. And I don't need cream to drink roasted dandelion root. Yeah. So I just started doing that. And then once my taste buds, I think coffee screws with your taste buds, honestly.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, because you don't even want a cup of like chamomile or, you know, Egyptian mint or like, you're just like, no, I just want more coffee, you know? So I got back to drinking my other stuff. And then I also, big influential moment timestamp was Anthony Williams, the medical medium, got me into drinking celery juice, which actually reset my entire body.
Ooh, interesting.
I mean, there is something severely magical in celery juice. And I had residual lower back pain from having Lymes. I don't know if you've had any experience with that.
I do. Yeah, I absolutely have experience with Lyme personally.
Yeah. My neck was never really full motion afterwards, and my lower back hips, I just, you know, you could just expect to have pain at some point during the day. And I thought that was just going to be my normal, you know, for many years it was. Well, okay. So I started drinking celery juice one because, this is a spin off of the coffee. So in my coffee, I put heavy whipping cream or I put coconut oil. Like I was doing high oil, high fat. And I think it just clogged my liver way too much because I got very sluggish and, you know, didn't have that energy. So I knew I needed to detox. So that's why I was really interested in doing the celery juicing every morning. But what I didn't expect was all the pain in my body left.
Wow.
It left. It has not been back.
Oh my God.
Like it's gone.
So what does that look like? Like how much celery?
Well, I'll tell you what, it is not what he says because he thinks that you should drink like a whole mason jar full every day. And I needed only a little bit because it was like celery juice in, celery juice out.
Yeah.
Like, whoa. So I would suggest starting really slow.
Okay.
Really slow because yeah. And you know, celery can be pricey because you want to buy organic and all that. But he even said like maybe start juicing cucumbers first, get your body like really hydrated. Cucumbers are so hydrating. Nice. And then start your celery, but just celery all by itself. Uh-huh. But yeah, it took away my pain. I mean, that's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Like being in pain for years and years, doing celery juice for a few months and then feeling amazing. Yeah. Like, okay, there is something going on here.
I want to try that.
Yeah. And then once your body gets cleaned out like that, then you don't really have a craving for a lot of the old stuff that you used to turn to. Like you're going to be more apt to eat greens and drink your herbal teas. And what it is, it's this feeling of staying clean.
Mm.
Like now that you get cleaned out, you want to stay clean. It's like your house. After you finally declutter, you want it to stay clean because it feels good. Oh. So
refreshing.
Yeah. So thank you, coffee. Like I probably needed everything to get so great. Like that's me. I need it to get really bad before I do anything about anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like most people. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm so curious too about your, so your website is gorgeous. Like, did you do it yourself or what is it? How did that?
Oh my God. I just redid Herbal Marie the other day, actually.
I just looked at it and I'm like, oh my God, your website is gorgeous. Like,
it's oh my God, so I cleaned it up for you.
Pristine. That, beautiful. Oh, it looks great.
Oh, well, shout out to Blogger. It's just like a Blogger template.
Oh,
like,
cool.
But I got rid of all the unnecessary things. Like I got, like it is really just a landing page, you know, and what I use my website for is actually to keep a running list of Like if you click on herbs, you'll see the herbs at the herb episodes. So you don't have to like go through all my podcasts. If you're looking for dandelion, you can just click it. So I'm kind of using it as an index, I guess.
I love
and that. Same thing with the ailments and a few other categories. But yeah, I mean, I just, that's just something that like came with the blog spot or whatever I'm using. I don't even have a contact form. like it's really like, it's just there. I think, so like when I'm looking for something specific, I can find it, and people too, if they're like actually looking for a specific ailment, it'll eventually, once I do more of those episodes, come in handy. And, the tarot, the herbal tarot, that's a fun story, how that came about.
Bring it on. How did that happen?
Well, that was another one of those ideas that came into my head that I was like, where did you come from? You know, I had the deck and I thought it was really cool. And then all of a sudden, like this idea was harassing me. Like you need to reach out. Mm. You need to ask permission to pimp this book, you know, I guess I'm a pimp. I don't know. But, and I was in the herbal pimp. Yeah. But you know, and you know, we must all have this low self-worth, you know, kind of this low grade self-worth thing that says to us, oh, he'll never give you permission. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they're not going to want you to do that. Like this negative self-talk, we really need to keep that in check, because if I would have listened to that, I wouldn't have emailed him. Mm-hmm. Michael Tierra.
Oh, love his herbal tarot deck.
And I know. So that's what I did. I emailed him. I pitched the idea, mm-hmm. that, you know, I just have this idea that I really want to help expand my listeners' view about herbs. Cause it had been really herb nerd up until that point,
right.
Which I like, I love my inner nerd,
yeah.
But there's more to it, you know? And I thought this book, cause the deck is cool, but the book is awesome. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of Herbs. I'm like, I would just love to share this. And what I would really love to do is read it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, but that's a no-no if you don't have permission. Right. Yeah. So I just put it out there. And I expected him to either say yes or no, like, you know, and he gave me his blessing.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm on it. So yeah, I love the Herbal Tarot podcast now. And yeah, they're his podcasts. I don't even feel like they're mine. They're Michael Tierra's podcast. I hope someday he tunes in. I don't even know if he listens, but, yeah, I do my own little research about the tarot card because that's personally what I wanted to gain from it. Mm. I wanted to understand that storyline and those archetypes more, mm-hmm. because I want to read the cards, you know, and it's a big project actually.
It is. I mean, I have been trying to study the tarot on and off. It's been really light research, but for, you know, since over 20 years, but it's like it's hard to like actually dive in and hold all that information. I mean, it's a lot. It's very layered and really, there's a lot there.
There's so much, and I wasn't getting it either. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's because I'm trying to get it all at once, mm-hmm. you know? And so I thought, what if we could take each card one by one? And the fact that they're connected to herbs and plants, we'll remember them now. I saw this t-shirt one time that said, if you were a plant, I would remember your name. And I was like, oh my God, I should probably buy that, you know, cause like, that's so true. So it's going to help us learn them. And we're going to learn some new plants along the way. And, yeah, so we're just taking each card. I'm estimating it's going to take me 2 years, mm-hmm. to do these episodes right.
Whoa.
But thank you, Michael Tierra, because that helped me reaffirm my commitment to Herbal Marie. Mm-hmm. Because I was having some days where I'm like, is this even like worth it? Like really it's not, but it is. Like I have to do it. I've committed to it. but this helps me just be like, yeah, you're sticking with it, you quitter. You're doing your job, yeah. You know. But yeah, the fact that like those, I think there's 78 cards in the tarot deck, like it's going to take me a long while to do these because you can't rush it. Yeah. You can't. So I'm not going to quit for 2 years.
It's amazing. And I feel like each card and each plant kind of presents itself as it is becomes applicable in your own life and in the life of your listeners too. It's funny how like sometimes the messages that come through for you, it's just cool how it can be applicable to so many people in their own private situations. I'm curious.
Yeah.
Maybe some resources that you found to help dive into that more, like any favorite tarot decks or books about tarot or plant oracles. I know you play with a couple decks, like some with trees and essences and stuff as well.
Yeah, it would be embarrassing for me to tell you how many decks I own. And I actually don't even know because I'm not counting them until, you know, but I probably have like, yeah, a couple dozen decks. Okay. What actually got me started on tarot was the patch tarot. Do you know that? The spirit science, or did you ever come across that? He does like, animations, but, it was his tarot deck that I bought first. Cause I thought I only want to do oracle cards. Like I'm not even interested in learning that whole ridiculous tarot story, you know, like that's too much. I don't want to deal with swords, you know, like that kind of feeling. But whenever I saw his, I was like, oh, he took it into a different realm for me. Cause he dealt more with like frequency, vibration, ascension, you know, us becoming our higher selves. And I was like, oh, okay. Now you're speaking my language, you know? So that's actually what got me into tarot. And then the fact that there was something about herbs, I had to get the herbal tarot. Yeah. And those are actually the only two tarot decks that I own. I do have another one that calls itself a tarot deck, but it's not really. And that one's cool too. It's like all pictures of that the Hubble took out in outer space.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. So that's actually pretty new to me, but it is cool. And I needed it for whatever reason. So if like, I'm one of those people that like, I feel like I need to purchase something and I don't like fully understand it. Like, why do you think you need this?
Right.
If it's coming from my heart center, I still get it. Cause I'm like, I don't have to know why. Like, I just know that this is like the next thing that like I need in my life, to have more expanded awareness. You know, and I'm not like pushing you to buy like people should buy things, because sometimes your expanded awareness comes from a conversation, you know, or just something else in your life. But yeah, oracle cards have definitely been so good for me. One, because I'm not a book reader so much. I really haven't been. So I'm not going to sit down with page after page after page of something. I need pictures. I'm super visual. And oracle cards are that exactly. And they usually come with a guidebook that's cute and tiny. And you just read one page at a time, you know? So it really, really, it works for me. It really does.
I love that. So cool. I'm curious for the Hubble oracle cards, how it correlates, like what, is it just looking at different planets or stars, or what is it kind of?
It's groups of stars, like, and sort of when they get that colorful mist, like it almost looks like, you know, a star image. Yeah, it is really cool. And she just used like the major arcana, you know, like there's the lovers, there's the devil. And it is really cool, the images that she picked, you know, because you can almost see like energetically, like why she was called for that. So she has some tarot cards in that deck. And then the other half of them are oracle energy perspectives. So it's not like it's not a true tarot. It's not a true oracle. She like blended the two concepts together. And then the other cool thing about that deck is she has question cards. Mm-hmm. So if you don't like want to memorize a layout, or, you know, you can put down these cards, like the problem, the solution, you know, and then you lay the other card on top of it as the answer. So it's really an out of the box type of deck. Mm-hmm. I guess that's probably why I was called to it. 'Cause I was like, oh, you're definitely unique. Yeah. And, yeah, I haven't turned to it too much because I've been so, I mean, I don't want to use the word busy, but I've been mentally preoccupied with all of my little projects here and there. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that is a thing about Herbal Marie. Like, that does take my intellect to put together. I mean, it is my creativity, but that requires a lot of mental prep. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of why I needed the herb oracle on the daily, because while my mind is putting this together, I need to nurture my soul, you know, and self-care. I love how you're always talking about self-care.
I'm just kind of obsessed with it. Like, I love hearing like what people do to take care of themselves, and I don't know. I just, because I love doing things for myself. And so I just love hearing all the little things people do for themselves. Are there, because you're a busy mama and juggling two podcasts and work and gardening and all these things. I'm curious what you, I mean, it sounds like you have a lot of ways of tending to yourself, but is there
anything? Oh, it's nothing but that for me. It's self-care. It is self-care all day, every day.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I learned that in order to be happy, you do have to be, I guess, selfish or whatever. But I have nothing to give anyone if I am in a bad place. Mm-hmm. So it is a top priority for me to take care of myself. Mm-hmm. And all these little ways, I think that's why you're so fascinated with self-care, because, you know, yeah, it can be physical. It can be mental. It can be something as simple as putting on your headphones and listening to music.
Yeah.
Even getting excited to talk to you felt like self-care, like having something that I had really wonderful anticipation about that got literally my energetic blood going, mm-hmm. felt so healthy for me. So there's a lot of different things that people can do, following their passion, eating good foods, you know, taking time to actually make that cup of tea, rubbing, you know, of course it's rubbing oil on your body and your butt and all that, you know, but, yeah, just, I would say I'm really good at self-care. Could I be better? Sure. I think my hair would love a treatment more often than it gets, you know, but I don't, like, I only shower like once or maybe twice a week, if that, you know. And, so I don't like always want to be putting oil in my hair, you know? But I am really getting into putting green juice in my hair and bathing.
I never thought of that. What does that look like?
Okay. So this is maybe like a new idea for some people, because, you know, we've all talked about like making herbal tea and using that as a hair rinse. Mm-hmm. But now that it's summer and everything is growing, it's a really fun time to basically blend up a green juice, and you can strain it if you want. And instead of drinking it, just pour it on your hair and massage it in. Use it as a skin wash. Use it as a body wash. So that seems like a weird idea, maybe, because it's like, what? But we are nature. I think this is something that we need to get into our hearts, our minds. Like, we are nature. Like, it is more appropriate for us to bathe with plants than this stuff in plastic bottles.
Absolutely. Oh.
So, I mean, it might not be something that, you know, that you want to do all the time, but definitely, it's a great thing to try out, to massage green juice into your hair, onto your scalp. Like, I just did a podcast about red clover, you know, red clover. Oh. And you can take the green leaves and do just that. Mm-hmm. It's antiseptic, so it will help clear up and clarify your scalp. And it's good for dry hair. So, I mean, you might not want to run into town and do errands if you've got your green stuff in your hair. But hey, who knows? You might inspire somebody, you know? Spread the word. It's time to get green, like literally. But this was introduced to me, and I'm not going to be able to remember her name, but I think her first name is Katrina. Mm-hmm. She wrote a book called, like 13 Survival Weeds. Mm-hmm. That's probably not what it's even called. But anyway, sorry, Katrina, if that even is your name. But she wrote this book about, like, in the world, there is 13 herbs that pretty much grow everywhere. And if we ingest these 13 herbs, we will get every vitamin and every protein and every mineral that we need. Like, we literally could survive on these 13 plants.
Wow.
And they grow everywhere and they're considered weeds. So anyways, part of her self-care was using plant juice to wash her face and to wash her hair and to wash her body. And it just helps reset your pH, and it's just so good for you. And it's just such a foreign idea to us.
Yeah, that sounds so good. Or like taking a bath in that, just like pouring a bunch of plant juice in a bath. That sounds amazing too.
Yeah, and there are baby steps, like, you know, just getting that glass of green juice and with a small washcloth, just putting it on your skin and seeing how it feels. Like, if you're not ready to immerse yourself in the murk, yes. You know, just put a little bit on you and see, does it actually soften your skin? Does it feel good? Are you called to put it everywhere? Are you called to pour it on your hair? Or even just, or something that I've been thinking about doing, I'm glad you reminded me. I've been thinking about spritzing my hair with catnip. And I was thinking of catnip tea, but I have enough catnip, I could make a fresh juice with it.
Oh my gosh, cool. That would be amazing. Yeah.
Well, it would be awesome too, because mosquitoes don't like the smell of catnip. Or fleas. I mean, you can put it on your dog, pretty sure. Yeah. You know, you might attract a few cats, but like, hey.
As long as there's lions around.
Yeah, but catnip, I don't know. I'm really attracted to catnip. Ugh. And right now, actually, I'm making vinegar from scratch with catnip.
Ooh, cool.
That's been another new thing in my life in the past year. Like, we all have chopped up plants and put them in apple cider vinegar and done an infused vinegar. And then I came across something that was like, oh my God, like, wait a second. I could actually just make the damn vinegar.
Ooh.
Like a ferment.
Yes.
Yes. So I have tried it. I've had several fails. I think my fails were like, cause I forgot to stir it. It was with lemons. I failed that one. Mm-hmm. I didn't really even like the ones that I made with apples. Mm. I tried to make apple cider vinegar. I didn't really like that. But what I did love was the catnip vinegar. Just catnip, water and sugar, because you got to get the ferment going. And then you stir it every day, and I'm probably going to let it sit for 2 months.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. But this was the most awesome hair rinse I have ever had.
Oh my God.
And it smells so good.
Yeah. I love catnip. It's just like so minty and earthy and musky and oh, so good.
And fermenting it makes it like a little bit nicer smelling, actually. Like, you wouldn't think that, but it really does. So I'm excited for that. I made a whole bucket.
Yeah, I've started making, cleaning enzymes, but I think it's basically vinegar. Like, they say it's kind of like a combination of alcohol and vinegar, but you just use like old citrus peels, and then I throw a bunch of herbs in there, like chaparral and rose and stuff. And you could either take a little sip each day to help with digestion, or you can use it for cleaning stuff, or I like throw it in the bath. And it is so interesting how it's good for your skin, and it just smells amazing too. Like you can just use it to clean stuff and it works really well, and it's cheaper and
it's cheaper, no plastic waste, and it's closer to nature.
Yeah,
really, it is amazing. Once you start getting more natural, how, you know, you can keep getting more natural. You can move away from, you know, the salon selectives, which is probably in my shower now. But it's like, you have to either keep moving in the green direction, or you're just going to keep on, you know, taking the convenient, but polluting way. I mean, I hate to say that, but, it's just, we get so, it's like so much easier just to do a squirt of this shampoo you got from a Dollar Tree, you know, but there actually is a way that you can make shampoo with herbs, with aloe vera, with castile soap, you know? And once your hair and body get used to that, you can keep on doing that. But it is really hard to switch back and forth. Right. I've noticed for myself, like I said, all or nothing, either good piggy or bad piggy. Oh my gosh. I saw the funniest meme with Miss Piggy from the Muppets. Like there was like one of, like she was facing herself. Her one of her was her in a bride's gown. She was white and, you know, like the good Miss Piggy. And then there was the bad Miss Piggy with like this hooded cloak and you know, she's facing herself. It was just so inappropriate if you have to edit this out. But like, it was a light worker joke. So on the top of the meme, it said light worker me, love and light. And then the hooded Miss Piggy on the bottom, it said shadow side, money and dicks. And it made me laugh so hard.
I love that.
Because hilarious. Yeah, it's either like love and light, save the world, or like, yo bitch, I'm gonna get mine, you know? And it was relatable because so with our body care, I don't know how I connected that in, but it's like you're either supporting this multi-billion-dollar beauty industry with its chemical stuff, or you're going to turn to nature, for me anyways. Yeah. So I just keep trying to make that conscious choice, like turn to nature, be nature, be nature, you know? Because, yeah, once you go to the dark side with Miss Piggy, you might not come back.
That was too cute. I love that. Oh my gosh. So Herbal Marie, I'm curious, as you're looking forward and looking back, like is there any advice you would have said to yourself 5 years ago or what do you envision in the next couple of years? What do you want to see happen?
Ooh, that is a big question. And I was kind of just entertaining that thought this morning on Herb Oracle. Mm-hmm. You know, would I go back ever? Like you couldn't even pay me to go back and redo my life. Like some people are like, oh, if I could be 20 again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you just made me nauseous. like, no, I would never go back. Right. I'd never go back. But, you know, theoretically I think, well, if I could go back, I'd probably just want to meditate more. You know, I wouldn't do anything different. I just meditate more. And then that makes me laugh so hard because if I would have meditated more, I would have done everything differently. Mm-hmm. So it's like this like weird, like, yeah, the only thing I'd do different would be meditate more, but plot twist. If you did that,
everything would be different.
Everything would be different. So no, I never regret anything. Because it's with our screw ups that we learn so much. Yeah. It's through the darkness we get to the light, truly. So yeah, I wouldn't do anything more except maybe meditate more. That's it. So future, it's really important for us to just stay here right now. Mm-hmm. You know, it really is. Stay in the now moment and stay present because it's really only our egos that want to plan. Mm-hmm. It really is. And most people, that doesn't sit well with them. It just makes them anxious. But we still want to do it. So I've just been kind of more trying to like energetic plan, like not really that I want to do anything specific, but I just want to be happier. And I do want to open up my heart regardless. Yeah. That was a big moment for me too. Because if we get to the end of this life and we have our life review, that's the one thing that we're going to look back and wish that we had done more of. We're going to wish that we had loved more.
Yes.
Yeah. And been more open, and just, we build walls. We really do. We build walls, and we don't let ourselves feel our feelings. And I think it's so important to do that. Like, if whatever feeling comes up, don't suppress it. Mm-hmm. So, that's why, you know, if I think or feel something, a lot of times I just let it, blurt out, or I just say how I'm feeling right away, because then I'm acknowledging it. Yeah. If you don't acknowledge your feelings, you suppress them. And when you suppress them, you know, it's usually negative stuff you're suppressing or closing down. And that's just not healthy.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing somebody can do for their health. I often tell people, like, when they're asking me about food and what's the best thing to eat, mm-hmm. I'll be like, you know, it's really up to you, whatever you feel guided to do. But the worst thing to eat is guilt. Like, let's be real here. We are energetic beings, and the worst thing we can put in our body is guilt, negativity, judgment, hatred. So I guess if I'm talking future, I want to still continue to clarify my mind mm-hmm. and work on my energetic presence.
Wow. That is so beautiful. And that's such a good reminder for me too, because I feel like I'm never really good at planning. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I should write out a 5-year plan or something, but I don't really know how to do that. And I like that reminder of the planning mind is the connected to the ego mind, and just finding happiness and just diving and swimming around in the love and feeling what's true for yourself. Like, I've started working with holly and fuchsia flower essences. Fuchsia is good for releasing suppressed and repressed feelings and emotions. And it's like, it is interesting. I've been taking it for a couple of days now, and I'm like, oh, it just does bring things to the surface of like, oh, that's a feel that I just never let myself fully dive into or feel. And it, yeah, brings things up and out. And it's pretty interesting how that can happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, flower essences are amazing. I worked with them more in my 20s because, yeah, I had a lot of negative self-talk. And, you know, my mind was racing in probably for all of my 20s. Yeah. But, like, it wasn't until, like, I worked with some flower essences. And I can't remember the specific ones now, but they really were magic. And I, you know, looking back with my skeptical, analytical mind, I think I wonder if that was not just the power of intention too. But now I understand that it was also energy medicine. But yeah, flower essences are a great tool, especially for the emotional realm, especially, you know, when you're trying to get, that healing on the energetic level. So yeah, some people make fun of flower essences because, you know, it's like, how can that be anything? It's just like watered down alcohol, you know, it's like a drop. It's like a drop of water and alcohol or something, but it is hard to explain spirit with our physical minds. That is for sure. So I'm so happy to hear that you're working with flower essences. I, have an oracle deck actually that was written by an herbalist who specializes in flower essences. And you know what? When I pull your cards tomorrow, I will have to use that deck as one of the decks.
Whoa, I would love that.
Mm-hmm. And she has a blessing with each of the essences. Whoa. And it just all circles back around to that the plants are here to help us. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter which way you go about it. you know, like if flower essences don't appeal to somebody, that's okay. Like maybe herbal teas will, or eating the plant fresh, or just using it topical, or even just getting it at GNC. Like the plants will help you in any way that you'll let them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once we start letting them come into our field and into our bodies, and they are great communicators.
Absolutely. So
yeah.
As we're wrapping up, because I really want to honor your time. I know you're busy lady, busy earth plant out there.
you know what though? I don't actually feel busy. Like the more I surrender and flow, the more I get done, and the more like I think like I am stopping time. A lot of the time, haha. You know? But like once you do get in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing, things happen much more easy. And that's how I try to approach Herbal Marie. Like if I try to plow through it, use my mind, use my schedule, get up at this time and do this many pages of research and have the podcast out on this day, I'm just asking for problems. Mm-hmm. That's when I get sick. Yeah. That's when life blows up in my face, you know, and that's when I become really stubborn and rigid, you know. It's like my podcasts have flowed out whenever I'm like, I don't have a plan. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I'm just going to sit down and we're going to do this. And then all of a sudden, like all my guides show up and we create this very entertaining podcast or something, you know, like I don't even know how it's done. But, life does get easier the more you get easier, the more you soften to it. Hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I know I could talk to you for days. Like,
no.
Like, should I want to start a third podcast?
I know. It could just be us talking to each other.
Yeah. And I'd even sometimes let you have a chance to talk.
Oh my God, but you're so entertaining. Like, I love your podcast. I'm curious, like, how you keep yourself entertained and, like, how do you keep it flowing? Because for me, I do some solo episodes, but I definitely rely more on talking to other people and asking them questions. And so I was curious if that feels like a lot to kind of carry it on your own, because all of your episodes that I've heard are all solo. So
they're all solo. I think they'll always only ever be solo.
Yeah.
I mean, cause what you do, I feel you have to, you're good at what you do. You ask great questions. You're so like warm and welcoming and like, you could be like a truth serum. Like I could tell you anything. So you're really good as the interviewer, you know? I guess it is a different art form to sit and talk to yourself for an hour. Mm-hmm. And at first, maybe that did seem strange, but I don't know. Cause see, like I was definitely that kid that was super attached to the mirror. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as I got a mirror, like, and saw myself in it, I was like, oh, who are you?
Yeah.
Like, I want to get to know you. Mm-hmm. So I think I've always understood that like my relationship, me with me, is really the valid point of my existence, as everyone is. I mean, so having a good relationship with yourself is important for everyone, but especially if you're going to do a solo podcast. So yeah, like basically I'm asking my own questions. Like I do have guides and with that are chiming in, kind of like a lot of my podcasts are not planned. So I have to just kind of get into this open receiving and kind of way and just see what comes up, you know, and what comes out and see if anyone or anything comes out, you know. But yeah, like it is interesting to just talk to yourself. But because I do that, I thought, oh my God, how am I going to talk to Sarah? like, do I know how to talk to somebody else?
Oh,
you know?
God. No, you're amazing.
So I try to just let the humor flow. And then, I mean, and I think you'll catch me in my podcast, like genuinely laughing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because I didn't see the humor come out. Like I didn't see it coming. And then I'll say something and I'll just genuinely crack myself up. And I'm like, oh, that's funny. You know?
I love that in your podcast. So cool. And I love your shout outs too. Like, I think that's a really cool idea and a way to help build community. Cause I feel like through both your podcast and my podcast, like I'm just really interested in building community through the podcast and helping people find other like-minded spirits and just, you know, letting there be this little, like, you know, nature spirit or creative spirit that can like whisper in your ear and talk about different things. And so it's nice to build community through conversation, but I love how you use shout outs to build community around your podcast too. And just, honoring and just talking about people you're excited about. I think that's a really cool idea as well.
Oh, thank you. And I'm overdue for an Instagram shout out because so many people start following me on Instagram and I followed everyone back that I could, you know. Yeah. If I missed anybody, let me know. I will follow you back. So my feed is insane.
Yeah.
And so now like I almost have to go looking. Like at first it was more of an organic, like, oh gosh, this thing looks cool. I'm going to, you know, it would find me, but now I'm a little overwhelmed with Instagram. Mm-hmm. But I would like to do at least another one and maybe focus more on, you know, the teachers and, you know, in case I never do another one, focus on, you know, the accounts that like people really can learn so much from.
Yeah.
But it is fun. It's fun talking about people behind their back, especially in a positive way. And it made so many people are like, oh my gosh, like that really made my day to be featured. And hey, it really made all of our days to get your great ideas. You know, I love copying. When I see a good idea, I am not ashamed to copy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, put my own spin on it or whatever. But yeah, we need to inspire each other. So yeah, if I had to end our chat with one thing, it would just be to encourage people to connect with the plants and to share. I think it's the sharing part. I think that we both feel is so important. You with community and me with just perpetuating that green energy, that creative force that everyone has access to. I think everyone's entitled to connect with the plant kingdom. And it's everyone's right to have access to plants and herbs and the healing remedies. So yeah. And when you share, it just gives other people permission.
Yeah.
On so many levels.
Yeah, because I feel like with kind of the patriarchal culture, there's this idea that there's not enough. And if you switch back to like an older, more matriarchal perspective, it's like, oh, there is enough. Like, just keep giving and there will be enough. And I don't know, there's something in that too, just to not feel like we're limited in any way.
Oh my God, yes. We really need to get out of lack mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are keeping consciousness down by not thinking there's enough, by not sharing. And it all boils down to energetics. It really does. Like, even though plants are very tangible, it all boils down to energetics and, you know, healing, ourselves and others. And yeah, like you were saying, like promoting like community and stuff. And that's an aspect of myself that needs healed.
Mm.
So, you know, and that's part of being like an outcast, a loner. I have severe tendencies to feel isolated, right? Even though I'm pretty easygoing and fun, you know, I often walk the path alone.
Right.
And so even with something with herbalism that I'm completely in love with the botanical world, and so are other people. But yet I still have so much healing to do before I can honestly say, I feel like I'm a part of a community, you know, so.
That can happen. I see that a lot with like mamas. Like, I feel like through becoming a mother, you know, you have to sacrifice so much. And oftentimes I see moms feel isolated and separated because there's, you have to just like focus on your little tribe and you can't always expand out to like the bigger tribe and the bigger circle, or there's this sense that people won't be there for you. And I don't know. I don't know if you feel like motherhood is part of that picture for you or not.
Yeah, my kids are all like, I mean, 16, 12 and 10. So they don't really care about me anymore. But no, I mean, I love them. They are my tribe. But yeah, I really, as soon as they were all born and in my nest, I only had eyes for them, yeah. Of course, you know, and also I live in Western Pennsylvania. So like my neighbors this weekend, like I watched them spray pesticides. I literally watched my neighbor across the street take her propane flamethrower and burn the plantain out of her driveway. Because she announced to the other neighbor, the Roundup didn't work.
And I
literally sat there, Sarah, and thought, my forgiveness practice will never end.
Yeah.
Like this journey of staying in love with humanity.
Yeah.
Like it is so big for me that, I mean, I'm challenged every time I turn around. But yet there is this desire to love everyone, even those idiots, you know, yeah. Like I know I'm supposed to, you know, like I get it. Like I have little statues in my bedroom, like Buddha, the fat one, and Mother Mary. Like I've just collected them. Like they've found me, and I'm always looking at Mother Mary and I'm like, how do you do it? Yeah. How help me, you know, like, help me start to see with more non-judgment and this place of neutrality, mm-hmm. you know, because I do understand, and I just did that podcast, You Can Appreciate Plant Blindness.
Mm-hmm.
And I do understand that this person today that's spraying these weeds, this medicine, they're spraying medicine, you know, they're spraying the plant that could probably make them so happy and healthy. Anyways, I understand that they also have the potential mm-hmm. to someday be into herbalism.
Mm-hmm.
Like I get it. So I try to just know that like they're on their journey and, you know, they're going to, I guess, live their lessons out the way, you know, everybody has the free will to do. But it is really, really, really challenging not to get on the porch and be like, what the actual fuchsia are you doing?
Yes. Oh my God.
You know? So anyways, wrapping that into community, feeling, you know, part of my local community has its challenges mm-hmm. because, yeah, I just see things so differently than everyone. But I guess, you know, I that's part of my journey.
Yeah. You're there as the messenger to just like reach out and create a connection maybe, or a different way of seeing things.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've actually like, you know, like, cause I look around, I live right beside a church and then there's another church off the other way. And I have my pesticide spraying neighbors and I have the field of GMO corn in the back. And I often think, yeah, energetically, you're supposed to be here just for balance.
Yeah.
And so I need to keep up my vibration and, you know, keep anchoring in, this connection with the plants. And then hopefully, you know, I can inspire the people around me.
So beautiful. I love that. And you're doing it. I'm curious if you, is there a plant that you feel like, if you were a plant, what would you be and why?
Oh my gosh. Stinging nettle.
Ooh, I love that.
I think so. That's the first one that jumped in before anyone else could come in to say that I was that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought stinging nettle.
Cool.
Right now. But I totally would love to be a holy basil or tulsi or something, but that is not what I thought of first.
I was thinking you would say motherwort. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could see motherwort. But Why do you feel like you're the nettle?
Because I can truly like offer someone, like that's just, I think, where I'm at in my life right now. Like I am willing to give my energy, my love, my information, but yet I still have these definite boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm super nutritious, but I have to learn how to cuddle, and not many people want to cuddle me. There's only a few people that like to cuddle staying nettle.
So you have to be a little bit masochistic to want to do that.
Yeah, I see herbalists picking staying nettle barehanded, so I guess I'll call them to hang out.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That's beautiful. And I'm curious, is there anything else coming to the surface you want to be sure to share, or any teachers or friends or mentors you want to give shout outs to?
Well, I did mention that I did not have very good mentors this whole time, but you know, it was those moments where people maybe rubbed me the wrong way that inspired me or didn't deter me. Like I do have this story that I share on one of my early podcasts about how I called into Susan Weed's podcast to actually ask her a question about stinging nettle. Oh. And she freaking bit my head off.
Whoa.
Which she does to everybody in her podcast. I thought to myself, okay, so here's this woman that I had been, you know, respecting and admiring, reading her books. Mm-hmm. And the interaction was just so dang, girl. Okay. And I realized though that that's what I needed at the time, maybe. But shout out to all the people I told you about that were really arrogant. Mm-hmm. It's these people that have tested me. They have helped me prove to myself how important the plants are. Like they did not deter me, you know, to someone, you know, it made me mad because I thought if she did that to anybody else but me, she might actually scare someone off of herbalism or make them embarrassed to ever ask another question again. But it really proved to me that nobody can do anything to me. Like I am on my path and I will not be deterred. You know, I will continue to ask my questions and do my research and speak my truth and do what I feel is right for me. And I don't care who snaps at me or, you know, whatever, but nonetheless, I still actually do love her. It was I have definitely, when I say I need to heal my sense of community, I'm not joking. I'm being honest with myself. I really actually do need to work on that because it just has fallen short for me. And what I'm learning in my 40s so far is everything is on me. Everything in my reality is my creation. And whatever is mirroring back to me, it's on me. So I have to go inside and figure out what it is that I need to work on and heal. And understand that if I'm not sensing community now, at this point in my healing journey of expansion, it's because I built those walls. It is on nobody else. You know, it is all just me. But I will end with saying, like I said before, everyone should share and, you know, inspire and definitely regularly take the time to do something new and grow something new and try something new. Every year I try to grow a plant that I never have done before. And yeah, so this year, it is shiso. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like a Japanese basil. Mm-hmm. It is taking forever to grow here, and it finally got big enough.
I bet it'll take over because I've seen it in, I helped a friend's garden here in Boulder, Colorado, and she planted some you know, a few years ago, and then it just like, it's everywhere now and she can't get rid of it.
So. Well, that's why I put it in its own container. 'Cause I did hear that. Like, I was like, okay, well, I should maybe make sure I like it before I have yet another, you know, bully in the garden. But so it was big enough this morning to snip off a leaf, and I chewed it up and it tasted like cumin. Yeah. And so that was new to me, to the garden. So, I mean, every year I put something new in, or at least even try it in a container, yeah, you know, until you know what you want to do. So, I mean, there's Tulsi growing in one container. There's tatsoi, which is so delicious.
Yowza, there we go. Yeah, please grow something new that you've never grown before. And please be sure to check out Herbal Marie and the Herb Oracle on iTunes, Anchor, or Instagram. She also has a beautiful website, www.herbalmarie.com. You can connect with me if you'd like on Instagram at Time in the Studio. I also have a Facebook page and group if you want to connect there. Those are some options as well. And thank you so much for listening. Please feel free to share this with a friend if you feel like they would enjoy it, or leave a rating or review. I so much love and gratitude and appreciation for all that you are, all that you do, and for shining your light out into the world. Yay! Love you. Take care. Bye-bye.